I'm Adam from Hampton, Virginia, a proud Patreon supporter helping to bring you this episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast, your home for strong opinions, marginal analysis, chickens, hobby tag porn, and guys that catch Jake Arrieta homers. I just got off the phone with John Smoltz, and he would like to convey to the Ivy Envy gang that his predictions for the NLCS Game 1 will be that John Lester will birdie the third inning. Wilson Contreras will get a two-minute penalty box for high-sticking. Addison Russell gets a yellow card for touching a ball with his hands. Dexter Fowler will get put on the DL for an oblique strain during the first serve of the first set of the first match. Hayward is going to go from first to second, not on a balk, but on a face mask penalty because of his mouth guard. Chapman will miss a free throw, but on the bottom of the ninth, David Ross will put one through the uprights for 3 points, which will lead to sudden death, and the Cubs will move on to the Stanley Cup. And he also said that in December, when the awards are given, Albert Almora will get a Heisman Trophy for 200 yards rushing. Go Whales or something.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. On this episode, we're previewing the NLCS between the Chicago Cubs and the Los Angeles Dodgers. We will be specifically looking at Game 1, which is Saturday night at Wrigley Field. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, guys. It's Andy.
Hey, Kurt.
So before we get going, you'll remember that 2 or 3 weeks ago, we did a contest for a free lacelet from Game Day Feels. And Lauren, who is at Blonde Wonk on Twitter, she facilitated this giveaway, and we have a winner, and Lauren called it into our voicemail line, and so here she is to announce the winner.
Hey, Corey, this is Lauren calling from Cincinnati. Just leaving the voicemail about our Game Day Feels bracelet winner. We have Michael from Durango, Colorado. We do we'll be reaching out via email. That was left on the order, and he will be getting his lacelet out to him in probably 2 or 3 days. So he did win the 19-inch Meet Me at the Ballpark Wrigley Field coordinates lacelet from Game Day Field that will be out to him here in the next 2 or 3 days. And we may be giving another one away during the NLCS. So I'll keep you posted. Thanks so much.
Also, we're running a sale on our t-shirts, and so you can use the coupon code NLCS for 20% off. You can get one of our shirts for $12. I also have a few hoodies left. I don't have all sizes, but if you're interested in an Ivy Envy hoodie, then send me an email, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at ivyenvy.com. All right, so let's jump right into the NLCS. We'll try to keep this episode short. We had to wait until for the Dodgers-Nationals game to finish before we could record, so even the nights when the Cubs aren't playing, here we are late at night on a microphone.
You'd think I'd be used to it by now, but no, I'm not. No, I'm too old to be used to this.
I had to eat cereal to stay awake.
Was it Rizzo's?
No, I thought about it though. I did. I looked at them, and I went for the cereals that look like little cookies, whatever those are.
Cookie Crispy.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. The Aldi's version of Cookie Crisp.
Oh, there you go. It's probably Cookie Crunch or something.
Right, right.
Wookie Crisp. It's Chewbacca-shaped cookies.
All right. So let's start off by looking at the Dodgers, and then we can jump into the specifics for Game 1. By the way, I'll be up there for Games 1 and 2. I know that some listeners are meeting up at the G-Man. They're just north of Wrigley on Clark to watch the ALCS game on Saturday afternoon. And so if you're going to the game, stop by. I'll be there. I know that some listeners that don't have tickets to Saturday's game plan to stay there and watch the Cubs game. So if you're in the Chicago area and you just want to watch a game with other Ivy Envy listeners, then that's a place to go. So let's talk about the Dodgers. The Cubs went 4-3 against the Dodgers this season. The Cubs went out to L.A. at the end of May and beginning of June. And then they took 3 out of 4 there. And then the Dodgers came to Wrigley in August and took 2 out of 3. And the thing kind of stands out in both of these series is how close the games were. 5 of the 7 games were decided by 1 or 2 runs. So a lot of tight games. The Dodgers, they rank 5th in baseball in ERA, 3rd in FIP. So they have good pitching, obviously. They've endured a lot of injuries, but they strengthened the pitching staff by bringing in Rich Hill. And the rotation looks like it'll be Maeda, Kershaw, Hill, and Urias. And so, and if the series goes to 6, then I think that's where it gets kind of scary as a Cubs fan, is because when it gets to game 6, you have to beat Kershaw in game 6 and Hill in game 7, which could be tough. But the nice thing is those games are both at Wrigley Field. So, and hopefully it doesn't even get that far. As far as the bullpen goes, the Dodgers have the number 3 bullpen in baseball. Kenley Jansen is a closer. Obviously, if you watched the ALDS game 5 between them and the Nationals, you saw him quite a bit tonight. In 68 innings, he gave up just 4 home runs, and he has an ERA of 1.83. So you would think it might be tough to scratch out, runs late in the game. But they stretched. I mean, he threw what, over 50 pitches tonight? It had to be close to it. He threw a lot of pitches tonight, and so he's probably not going to be there. I would assume he won't be there for game 1, and game 2 could even kind of be a stretch, maybe.
I think he threw more pitches than Rich Hill.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, but
Hill ended at 55. I think Jansen was over that.
That's crazy. But hey, I mean, I don't really have too much of I don't know. I mean, do you guys want to talk about that game real quick? Were you guys hoping, did you guys have a preference of who came away with that win tonight?
I think originally I would have said the Nationals, but as I did some research for this, because of when we're recording, we kind of just did both teams, and I feel okay about the Dodgers. But before this, I would have said the Nationals.
As I looked into how the Dodgers have done against Lester, I wanted the Dodgers more.
Yeah, I kind of looked at how the teams matched up all season, and I kind of wanted the Nationals. I think the Nationals pitching is a little bit weaker, and
especially without Strasburg available.
Right. Do you guys know who we're going to end up talking about the Nationals here, which we have no reason to, but do you guys know who was the offensive player with the highest WAR for the Nationals this year?
It wasn't Daniel Murphy?
Yeah, it was Daniel Murphy. 5.5 WAR. That's 2.5 WAR higher than his previous career high. And so, I don't know, whatever crazy thing he figured out in the NLCS last year with the Mets against the Cubs, he's carried it over. And but man, I kind of wanted to face him just because of Bryce Harper. I think it would have been kind of fun to beat him, even though I kind of like him, but he has been really ineffective this season. And so I looked at that offensive lineup, and it just didn't really impress me very much. And I think the Dodgers, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is kind of a good segue, but their overall stats aren't great, but you kind of look at the lineup, and it seems like guys that, well, you have like Corey Seager, who's a 7.5 win player. He batted .308 and had 26 home runs. Very impressive for a rookie, obviously. And I'm not going to go through all of them. He stands out. But then there's a lot of like young talent on the team. But then there's also veterans like Chase Utley and Adrian Gonzalez. And just seems like there's some experience there. As far as offense goes, the Dodgers are ranked 22nd in batting average in all of baseball, 18th in on-base percentage, 18th in slugging, 10th in walk rate, 21st in strikeout rate. So, with the Dodgers striking out a lot, 21st in baseball, ranked 21st in baseball, and the Cubs pitchers being the third best team in strikeouts, it would be good to see the Cubs kind of capitalize on that. And, I think really, except for Hendricks, I think the Cubs could kind of take advantage of the Dodgers in that area. But, you know, defensively, the Dodgers are not a bad team. They're above average, but they don't really compare to the Cubs as far as defense goes. In defensive runs saved, the Cubs had 82 and the Dodgers had 29, which was seventh in baseball. But I mentioned that just to kind of put it into perspective how incredible the Cubs defense is. There are like almost three times, you know, the defensive run saved as the Dodgers, who were seventh. So it's kind of crazy. But I mean, the Dodgers are a good team, and you don't get into the playoffs and then play weak teams. And if you want to beat the best, be the best, you got to beat the best. Right, guys? Sports cliches, right?
Yeah. Well, and the other, I'd rather face this year's version of Kershaw, who is still really good. Maybe not quite 100% yet, but versus right. 2014-15 Kershaw.
Well, and he threw, what, 110 pitches or something two nights ago. He threw, I don't know how many tonight, maybe only like 10 or 15, but he warmed up. Yep. And
that 110 came on short rest.
Right. And so, I mean, he's going game two, but I don't know. Knowing Kershaw, he'll be fine. But I don't know. It could catch up with him, and hopefully it catches up, you know, with the Cubs. They can take advantage of it. So
yeah, you got to think the Cubs are going to come into this series fresher.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Just all around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, their entire pitching staff is completely, that's why I loved that this series went to five games. And I wouldn't even say that, like, you know, you could kind of worry about, oh, so whoever wins this other series is going to come in, you know, hot, and they're going to come in on a roll and whatever. I don't know, watching that game tonight and seeing how they had to just kind of use everybody and bring in Kershaw to finish a game, I don't think this team's coming in hot. And if anything, I think they're coming in, and they're coming in from you know, they have to travel now late and get in. I mean, there's a day off, but it's just one day. I just think that was the really nice thing about the Cubs locking that up in four games.
And then even if it is a close game, like, is Jansen even available?
Right, right. Yeah.
The ninth, if it's a save opportunity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it definitely helps them out.
Yep. So Andy, why don't you talk about John Lester versus the Dodgers?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. He faced the Dodgers actually twice this season. So the first one was June 1st at Wrigley, where he got the win and a complete game in that outing. He gave up a home run in that game on the second pitch of the game to Enrique Hernandez, who's not on the playoff roster, at least for this round for the Dodgers.
You mean Kike?
What's that?
Kike?
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
He changed it back to Enrique. It was Kike, but it's spelled K-I-K-E.
Oh, okay. What? Well, no wonder he changed it back. So Lester gave up a home run to that dude first, a second pitch of the game, and then he was lights out. From that point on, the Dodgers only managed four hits while Lester struck out 10 and issued no walks in that game. He just dominated the Dodgers in that game. August 28th, he faced them again, Dodger Stadium. I think he must not have been that efficient in that game, as he was at 98 pitches through six innings. He got a no decision, but he gave up zero runs on three hits in that game. So he's done very well against the Dodgers this year. And the current Dodgers haven't had much success against Lester. As a whole, they're only hitting 162. Nice. Six current Dodgers have double-digit plate appearances against Lester, and none have done well. I think he matches up very favorably against them, since many of their impact bats are lefties. Justin Turner is the guy that kind of worries me, but he's going to be susceptible to some pitches that Lester has in his repertoire, like the cutter that he can make break in on the hands, as well as his changeup fading away. Turner has a cold zone in his swing up and on the hands, and a lot of teams tend to work him away. So with the right game plan, Lester should be able to handle him too.
And Lester's going on extra rest. It'll have been, what, 8 days since he last pitched? So,
which, according to him, he doesn't care for, but it didn't seem to hurt him last time out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they get their work in, you know, whatever, you know, side sessions or whatever makes them feel comfortable. But it's still good that, again, kind of going back to the fact that the Cubs are nice and rested, the entire bullpen, but that all
everybody has new Jordans, thanks to Dexter Fowler.
But all these, all the starters are going to be going on extra rest, which I think is good for, well, it's good for Hendricks, who, you know, was injured, taken out because of injury when that ball was hit back at him on in game two on Saturday. And then, you know, I think extra rest is good for Lester. I just think, you know, it's good all the way around. So, so that's Lester versus the Dodgers. Kurt, do you want to tell us what the Cubs offense is going to be facing in game one?
Yes, let's talk about Gio Gonzalez. Oh, wait, sorry, that's wrong notes. That's what I was looking forward to, is Gio Gonzalez in game one against the Nationals. But instead, it'll probably be Kenta Maeda. There is a little wrinkle in this, in that I've seen some articles that have mentioned Brock Stewart, who's a rookie. He was not on the NLDS roster, but he did face the Cubs on August 28th, and he went five, allowed just two hits, no runs, and struck out eight. He had kind of a rough start to his season and then picked it up after. Actually, this start versus the Cubs was one of his best, and then from there out, he was really good. So that's a possibility, given how taxed all their pitchers are, and that he had this whole series off. But like I said, it's probably Kenta Maeda. He did not face the Cubs this year. It's his first year here in the U.S., so he had previously pitched in Japan for like 8 years or something like that. But he was 16-11 on the year and had a 3.48 ERA in 32 games. He's not going to blow you away. He's got four pitches and uses them pretty well. Tops out around 90, so you know he's not going to blow a lot past you. So there's not a lot I can say about Maeda versus particular guys because they haven't faced him. So
yeah.
Like that the Cubs can stack a lot of lefties in the lineup against him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we know that sometimes the Cubs struggle against pitchers they've never seen before. It seems like that. I think a lot of Cubs feel that way. And while I think it's somewhat true, I think we've also seen them jump on pitchers. This is where having Dexter Fowler in there to take like an 8-10 pitch first at bat, mm-hmm. give Bryant and Rizzo plenty of time to see him. I think that makes a big difference. And I think that he's the type of guy that you hope that maybe the third time through the order they can kind of jump on, because yeah. I mean, the Dodgers aren't going to, I don't think the Dodgers are going to be quick to go to their bullpen on Saturday night.
Well, and I think that's exactly the game plan, is work to pitch count. And he's also really hittable. I mean, he pitched on Monday and he went just three innings and gave up five hits and four runs. So if they get to him early or work the pitch count up, I think, you know, they're in good shape, because if you can get into this bullpen that's just wiped out.
Oh, yeah. And keep it that way. You know, I mean, the Cubs really have the potential to just decimate that bullpen if they can, you know, if they can avoid a start, you know, kind of like what we saw in game four with the Giants. Unfortunately, they weren't able. My mind has gone blank right now. I'm so tired. Who started for the Giants in game four?
Matt Moore.
Yeah, Matt Moore. Yeah. And I mean, like, I think that was kind of like you were hoping you could knock him out early. And granted, they ended up kind of beating up on the bullpen, but they weren't able to knock him out. But hopefully that's what the Cubs can do with Maeda, is just drive up that pitch count and get him out. And then just, you know, I really do think that, I mean, Kershaw will probably go deep. It's probably going to be hard to, like, really get into the bullpen against him in game two. But if they can, I mean, they could just have the Dodgers bullpen on their heels the entire series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to say about that, Kurt? I mean, I guess there's really nothing to say.
Yeah, there isn't a ton, but I think he, on paper, it's a great matchup, at least to start the series.
Yeah,
it makes for a weird, you know, like you said, you know, Kershaw going game two against Hendricks. You know, it's not your straight up 1-2-3-4 or 1-2-3 rotation like most series lineup, which I think is good because then the Cubs will have the advantage early. And if you can get up, I think that's good.
Yeah. Yep. We do have a couple questions here. Listener Phil sent these in. I actually had the opportunity to meet Phil this summer a couple times. And once at Wrigley and once at a podcasting conference. He does a podcast. So the first one here is, as a Cubs fan, I was worried about the division series and losing what was seemingly a gimme series for a team as talented as the Cubs. With the acquisitions and roster moves to improve from the 2015, are there higher expectations for this year's team or of this year's team? Yeah, and he says, do you think the Cubs will have less pressure in the NLCS than they did in the NLDS since they now have at least matched what last year's team did in terms of postseason run?
Well, part A, I think, yeah, higher expectations are definitely higher because
yeah.
You know, they went for it. They got Chapman. They made some other moves. And so, yeah, expectations are higher. It's a much, much better team, which is crazy to say that from 97 team that you 97 win team, you've improved that much. But yeah, expectations are definitely higher. Last year, it was like you're playing with house money. This year, it's like you got to do it.
Right. Yeah. Which, I mean, the team handled, you know, he asked about will there be less pressure in the NLCS than they had in the NLDS? The only thing that I think takes a little bit of pressure off them is the fact that it's a 7-game series. And you just have a little bit more room for error there. In the NLDS, it feels like, I mean, when the Cubs lost game 3, you know, it just seemed like things could get out of hand really quickly, where if the Cubs are up 2-1 and lose game 3 in this series, you still got plenty of time and 2 home games at the end of the series. So I think that's one way that there's less pressure, but I think as far as like them matching what last year's team did, I don't know if that creates less pressure.
Yeah. I don't think that's really a factor. I just think that, like you said, we've established that there are higher expectations for this year's team, and therefore there's still a lot of pressure in the NLCS.
Yeah. And I think what's important to remember, and not necessarily, this doesn't have anything to do with Phil's questions really, but kind of elaborating on that, is that the Cubs are still the better team. The Cubs are better than the Dodgers. And I think that not only are the Cubs in a better place than the Dodgers are as far as, like we've been talking about with the pitching staff and everything and injuries. But I mean, on paper, the Cubs are a better team. And so I just think that I think that takes some pressure off of the Cubs and Cubs fans. But, you know, once the first pitch is thrown, I'm sure the pressure is going to be there for fans. I don't know. Seems like this team handles, for as young as they are, it seems like they handle pressure really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another one here. What is the over-under for the Times? The broadcast shows a clip of Bartman during the NLCS. He says that he predicts it'll be higher if Washington is the opponent. That's probably true, but I have a feeling they're going to show it plenty, especially if it gets to a game 6 at Wrigley.
Yeah, we ate out at a restaurant tonight, and they had the ESPN.
Oh, the
30 for 30 catching thing hell. Or whatever, and it was on one of the TVs, and of course, people around us were talking about it, which was actually kind of funny hearing just your average and sort of like someone explain it to grandma, like what happened. And it was pretty entertaining. But yeah, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
So someone explain this crap to the grandma.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened about 2 tables over is they were trying to explain it to grandma. They got it about, 55% right. I'll give
them some credit for that. Oh, man. All right, so let's make our predictions for the NLCS and game 1. Overall predictions, how do you guys think this is going to turn out? Let's do who wins the series, how many games it takes them, and last time we kind of did who the hero or the MVP of the series would be. So Andy, you can go first.
You said, well, so we're going to guess the MVP of the series?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. I I think the Cubs win in six games. My favorite food is pizza. I think the hero of the series is going to be Chris Bryan.
Christopher. Am I next? Or you want to go?
Yeah, no, go for it.
Well, I have the same number. I have Cubs in six. I didn't think about the hero, but I picked Rizzo last time, which was like the worst hero prediction. But because it was such a bad prediction last time, I'm going to go with Rizzo again because I think he turns it around. He gets a big hit. He's going to be a little more comfortable. He's going to hit a homer at Wrigley at some point that's pretty meaningful.
I think I'm going to go Cubs in six, too. I'm real tempted to go Cubs in five. You know what? I am going to go Cubs in five. I think, yeah. I know which game I think they lose, but I'm not going to say it. I think you can figure it out. I think they wrap it up in five. They win it. They win it out in LA, and again, give themselves some rest heading into the World Series. That's my prediction. And for the series hero or MVP or whatever, let me have two answers. Can I have two?
We know what one of them is.
That's just so. Like you just change the rules after we've already given our answers.
Well, I think that the starters will be a collective MVP. I think the starters are going to perform really well, and I don't think that the Dodgers offense is going to be able to do much against the starters. If I have to pick an individual, I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be Contreras.
All right, so you got to pick five people. That's pretty fair.
And none of them were Baez, which is a little bit of a shock.
Well, you know that, like, that's really what I think, but I'm trying to go with somebody else. I think Contreras could do it.
I'm going to throw out 25 names here, and I think these guys are going to tear it up.
Oh, man. All right, so those are our predictions for the NLCS. That's our preview of Game 1. Again, if you're going to Game 1, head over to the G-Man anytime after 3. The plan is that we will do a live post-game show after Game 1. So as soon as Game 1 is over, go to ivmv.com/live. We won't be using Huzzah like we usually do, so go to ivmv.com/live to watch it live. So right after the game ends, you can head over there and we'll start it up. And if you miss it, of course, it will be in the podcast feed, so you can listen to it afterwards. And Kurt and Andy, you guys are playing the role of producers that night, so
yeah. Hopefully it gets recorded.
I'm a little bit nervous about that too. Yeah, we'll get it figured out.
Well, I have my talk boy has fresh batteries in it, so we should be good.
We're just going to make Corey sound funny with slow-mo and
right. Yeah. Yeah. If somebody listening live might want to just go ahead and like screencast it or whatever, you know, record it on your screen just in case. So we have at least the audio. Wow.
Now we know how confident Corey is in our abilities.
I'm going to give you guys what do they call that in the business world, an SOP? Isn't that what they call it? Standardized operating procedure or something like that?
Yeah, I'm not familiar, but
yeah, sure. I think I've heard of it before. But anyways, this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have some new contributors to thank: Alan in Barrington, Illinois; John in Decatur; Gavin in New York City; Dakota in Urbana; and also Casey, Elliot, and Wendy. And those three did not provide their location, so I can't send you perks without your address. So log into your Patreon account and provide that information so I can get stuff sent out to you. If you like what we do and you want to help us pay the podcasting bills and help us fund our live events, then you can go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So here on the way out, we're going to play some voicemails, and just to let you know, some of them at the beginning are, you know, should have been included in our last episode. but after the crazy Game 4 NLDS series win, we kind of forgot to include voicemails. So these first few are actually going to be a little bit, you know, from a few days ago, but I still think they're worth including. I get a kick out of some of them. So they will be there, and then I also put it out there on social media today that we would like to hear your predictions for the NLCS, so those will be included too. So that does it for this episode. I will see some of you this weekend at the games. And how about these Cubs? You know, they just take both these games this weekend and head out west with a 2-0 lead. I think that's what I want to see.
Head out west, 2-0 lead, and Jake pitching in California.
Yep. He has a history there, so let's hope for that. So thank you for listening, and until Saturday night, go Cubs.
100-year famine, you don't know, makes a hunger like no other. I can feel it down in my...
Hey, this is Aaron from Peoria, and I just think Arrieta is going to go beast on Bumgarner. He's probably going to shut it out. Cubs are going to go up 7 on Bumgarner, sweep him, and then continue on sweeping. I love your show. Bye.
This is Brad Jones. I was hoping that you had the score predicted at 3-2, and it did not turn out that way. And please, the rest of the series, the rest of the playoffs, do not predict a score again. Plus, it comes from your daughter. She can do it. But you guys do not predict a score. It's not working. Thank you. Love the show.
That's Brad Jones again. It was just right after the Brian home run. You're off the hook from my previous comment for now. Great home run. Unfortunately, I had to go to bed. I hate West Coast games. But go Cubs.
Corey, you can now talk about Javier Baez. Go Cubs, go!
Hey guys, this is Ben from Sixers, and I'm calling from the game. The Cubs' epic comeback just happened. All of Cubs fans are here celebrating, and I just want to say, this is the year, baby. It's gonna happen. Go Cubs, go! Love you guys. All right.
Hey guys, it's Matthew from Justice calling. Hey, I just want to make a couple of quick comments about the series with the Giants. For one, I think I've lost about a year off my life from listening to those games. Holy cow. I'm glad they're over. I'm glad we don't have to face arguably one of the best pitchers in baseball in Chicago, although I liked our odds, but still. But anyways, glad it's over. Because maybe my stress level can go down before Saturday's game. The other thing I want to talk about the sportscasters on FS1, or is it Fox Sports? I don't know. Whatever one Pete Rose is on. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like listening to Pete Rose for a couple of different reasons. For one, he's not good to listen to. He's got a lot of experience in baseball, but he's not really a commentator. And I know they've got him there for color, but he's just got to be one of the dumbest baseball players I've ever heard open his mouth. And two, one of the reasons why he's not in the Hall of Fame, because he was one of the greatest hitters, is because he's a degenerate gambler. So why does that make him able to be a sports person on the TV? Because he's a good announcer because of that? He's so good at baseball? No, he sucks at baseball, being an announcer, because he's not good. And the reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame is because, well, he's a degenerate gambler. Anyways, so that's all I've got to say. Thanks. I'll keep listening. And let's go Cubbies. Let's win a World Series. Bye.